Thank you and good afternoon on this lovely Tuesday. For all those alumni of the Lincoln Land Community College Ag Program, such as myself, mark your calendar for the Ag Alumni Reunion. Lincoln Land Community College will hold an Ag Alumni Reunion on Saturday, July 14th, starting at 5:30 p.m. The event will be held at Lincoln Land Community College, Springfield, 5250 Shepherd Road, and the Student Union in the lower level of Menard Hall. This special event, hosted by current and former Ag professors, provides Ag alumni an opportunity to network with former classmates and faculty members and learn about program activities and plans for the future. Lincoln Land Community College's agriculture program was recently named the beneficiary of an $18 million trust and is poised for growth. The reunion will include a social hour, buffet dinner, and program. The cost is $20 per person, and alumni are asked to register no later than July 6th by emailing alumni@llcc.edu or calling 217-786-4612. Lincoln Land Community College's agriculture program offers an associate in science degree in agriculture designed for students planning to transfer to a four-year college or university to complete a bachelor's degree. For students preparing to enter directly into the workforce, Lincoln Land Community College provides two-year associate in applied science degree programs in agribusiness management, horticulture, and precision agronomy, as well as certificate programs in fertilizer, agricultural watershed management, and landscape design turf management. Learn more about Lincoln Land Community College agriculture by visiting www.llcc.edu/agriculture. GrowMark has announced the 15 agriculture students who won the GrowMark Scholarship. 15 agriculture students have been selected as the second class of recipients of the GrowMark Foundation Scholarship. More than 170 students from across the United States and Ontario, Canada, applied for the award. Applicants were evaluated by a panel of agribusiness professionals, and the funds are available for the fall 2019 semester. We are pleased to provide financial support to these 15 outstanding students, said Amy Bradford, GrowMark Manager, Corporate Communications, and Manager of the GrowMark Foundation. Their pursuit of higher education in agriculture will position them well to potentially become a part of the GrowMark system in the future, whether that may be employment at GrowMark or an FS member cooperative, or as a farmer owner of their local cooperative. Scholarship recipients in alphabetical order are Zachary Becker of Amboy, Illinois. He is the son of Steve and Karen Becker and is studying agriculture and consumer economics at the University of Illinois. Reagan Bills of Early, Texas. She is the daughter of Mark and Holly Bills and is studying agriculture economics at Texas Tech University. Allison Bender of Salisbury, Missouri. She is the daughter of Travis and Andrea Bender and is studying agriculture business at Northwest Missouri State University. Caitlin Bonablust of Clay Center, Kansas. She is the daughter of Jay and Brenda Blunderbust and is studying agriculture education at Kansas State University. Denton Diggins of Moundville, Missouri. He is the son of David and Laura Diggins and is studying soil, environmental, and atmospheric sciences at the University of Missouri. Karen Dirksen of Newton, Kansas. She is the daughter of Richard and Amy Dirksen and is studying agronomy at Kansas State University. Connor Erpson of Lanark, Illinois. He is the son of John and Angie Erpson and is studying agronomy at Iowa State University. Katie Frost of Columbus, Ohio. She is the daughter of Rob and Lisa Frost and is studying animal sciences at Ohio State University. Corrine Harding of Trivoli, Illinois. She is the daughter of Darren and Julie Harding and is studying agriculture leadership education at the University of Illinois. Ryan Held of Taylorville, Illinois. He is the son of Jerry and Marcy Held and is studying agriculture business at Lakeland College. Melissa Herms of Montino, Illinois. She is the daughter of Donald and Mary Herms and is studying veterinary medicine at the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine. Cade Hill of Paxton, Illinois. He is the son of Robert and Rebecca Hill and is studying agriculture leadership education at the University of Illinois. Cassie Kempling of Streeter, Illinois. She is a daughter of Kyle and Lynn Kempling and is studying agriculture leadership education at the University of Illinois. Mattia Klein of Johnstown, Colorado. She is the daughter of Ronald and Michelle Klein and is studying agribusiness at Adams State University. Jacob Larkin of Pontiac, Illinois. He is the son of Dale and Jenny Larkin and is studying precision agriculture technology at Parkland College. GrowMark is an agriculture cooperative with annual sales of $7.3 billion, providing agronomy, energy, faculty planning, and logistics, products, and services, as well as grain marketing and risk management services in more than 40 states and Ontario, Canada. GrowMark owns the FS trademark, which is used by affiliated member cooperatives. The GrowMark Foundation was formally incorporated in 2005 and supports 501 not-for-profit charitable organizations. The foundation is focused on programs and activities which support the vitality of the industry agriculture, agriculture education and consumer understanding of agriculture's contributions to society and the economy, agriculture leadership development, and education about the benefits of the cooperative way of doing business. The GrowMark system has been involved in a variety of philanthropic efforts, including youth, agriculture, young leader education, and development and scholarships for decades. Congratulations to all those who were awarded the GrowMark Scholarship. June is National Dairy Month, and U.S. dairy producers are transforming data into information for more efficient farms. It's a time of unprecedented progress and efficiency in U.S. agriculture, producing more with less with each passing generation. A look to the dairy sector is proof of this reality. In this report from Halstein Association USA, we hear from a dairy records processing center on how animal records translate into continuous improvement on the farm. When data is collected on the dairy, whether a sample in the parlor or measures on the animals in the barn, how are those numbers transformed into powerful information to drive progress within the herd? Just ask Bill Verbort, General Manager for AgriTech Analytics. It's one of four dairy record processing centers in the United States.
You've got to start out with being herd being tested by somebody, and then that data finds its way to us. We process approximately 900,000 cow records a month, turn that into some useful information that the producer could use in the form of list of when to expect cows to dry, when to expect cows to calve, how he can rank cows within his herd.
AgriTech Analytics, located near California's Central Valley, is owned by Halstein Association USA and contributes records that power the industry-leading genetic database. Armed with this comprehensive information, producers can identify cow families that constantly produce high levels of quality milk and do so efficiently.
Producers always look to produce more milk. You do it through genetics, whether that's genomics, whether that's traditional genetics. You can take your pick, but you know you need to have a strategy for breeding these cows to end up with the kind of cow that you want.
Verbote says their connection to the Holstein breed ensures they stay on the leading edge of the dairy business.
And you can basically make the kind of cow you want to make in the Holstein breed, whether that's a lot of milk or, you know, something that's higher in components. It's just about breeding strategies. And then you've just got the clout of the size of the organization that, you know, is a significant player in the industry today.
Looking to the future, the ability to analyze genomic data and information on animal health and wellness holds much promise for dairy producers, Verbote says.
You know, if we're going to continue to progress and be competitive in the international environment, we need that information and we need to continue to get better. And it's part of our job is to be able to collect that information and get that into a useful form so we turn data into information.
Visit agritech.com to learn more. The Farm Show will be back after these messages. In national ag news today, biodiesel producers implore President Trump to keep his promises to their industry. Today is an open letter to President Donald J. Trump. Biodiesel producers, advocates, and agriculture leaders implore that America's first domestically produced, commercially available advanced biofuel not be ignored in the Trump administration's efforts to navigate differences between petroleum refiners and the ethanol industry. The letter to President Trump applauds his administration's support for allowing year-round sales of E15 ethanol blends, but highlights that the move provides no relief to a biodiesel industry that has repeatedly been hampered by federal policy decisions. In the latest blow to the industry, news reports suggest that the Trump administration is preparing to recommend zero growth in the biodiesel sector during rulemaking to set required volume obligations, RVOs, under the Renewable Fuel Standard, RFS. Passed in 2005 by a bipartisan Congress under the George W. Bush administration, the RFS directs the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, to require increasing volumes of biodiesel and other advanced biofuels in U.S. transportation fuel. In the time since President Trump has taken office, the EPA has held biomass-based diesel volumes flat at 2.1 billion gallons for 2018 and 2019. In addition, the advanced biofuels category, for which biodiesel also qualifies, has been reduced. News organizations are reporting that the Trump administration is preparing to soon announce that they will once again recommend against higher volumes for 2020. We will continue to engage the administration and RFS proponents to make it perfectly clear that these rumored numbers send an unfortunate message to the biodiesel industry and rural economies across the country, Covart continued. The easiest way to fix this and turn around a growing dissatisfaction among rural voters is to provide growth to the biodiesel industry and increase this RVO number. Nationwide, the biodiesel industry supports roughly 64,000 jobs, many of them in rural, Midwestern communities that were hit the hardest during the recession. Earlier today, the MBB released findings from a survey of voters in three critical Midwestern states, Iowa, Minnesota, and Missouri. Respondents overwhelmingly said they support federal policies to encourage growth and use of both biodiesel and renewable fuels. This support cut across party lines, with more than two-thirds of Republicans and nearly three-quarters of independents saying they support U.S. efforts to boost the expansion of the biodiesel industry. More than 80% of Republican voters in the survey said that it was important to them that President Trump keep his promise to defend the RFS. Actions taken by the EPA that undermine the integrity of the RFS and stand in direct contrast to your pledge of support to rural America can be righted with a simple solution. Follow the law by increasing advanced biofuel volumes in 2019 and increase volumes of biomass-based diesel in 2020, the biodiesel producer's letter states. This common-sense action will help America biodiesel producers diversify domestic refining capacity and provide much-needed economic support to rural America. Approximately 50% of biodiesel is produced from soybean oil, a product of processing the beans from protein and food products. This system has provided an additional source of income for soybean farmers, and the added value means that they're able to make the protein available at lower prices. Biodiesel is also produced from recycling cooking oil as well as waste fats. Made from an increasingly diverse mix of resources such as recycled cooking oil, soybean oil, and animal fats, biodiesel is a renewable, clean-burning diesel replacement that can be used in existing diesel engines without modification. It is the nation's first domestically produced, commercially available advanced biofuel. NBB is the U.S. trade association representing the entire biodiesel value chain, including producers, feedstock suppliers, and fuel distributors, as well as the U.S. renewable diesel industry. For more information on biodiesel, visit www.biodiesel.org. The Bayer-Monsanto deal is set to close this Wednesday. Bayer announced it will complete its acquisition of Monsanto Wednesday, June 7th. The closure of the acquisition will follow the receipt of all required approvals from regulatory authorities, according to a company news release. The closure comes 2 years after Bayer announced the intention to acquire Monsanto. As part of the $63 billion agreement, Bayer will remain the company name, and Monsanto will no longer be a company name, according to Bayer. The acquired products will retain their brand names and become part of the Bayer portfolio, and Bayer will become the sole shareholder of Monsanto on June 7th. According to the conditional approval from the United States Department of Justice, the integration of Monsanto into Bayer can take place as soon as the government-required devisements to BASF have been completed. Bayer expects moving its assets required to be sold to BASF, including the Liberty Link brand, to BASF in approximately 2 months. China says any tariff implemented on the nation by the United States will dampen the ongoing trade talks between the two. The Chinese government, in a statement, said all economic and trade outcomes of the talks will not take effect if the U.S. side imposes any trade sanctions, including raising tariffs, according to Politico. China stressed that the outcome of the talks should be based on meeting each other halfway. The comments followed last week when the Trump administration said it was ready to move forward with tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese goods being imported to the United States. Meanwhile, in previous trade talks, China has agreed to buy more U.S. agriculture and energy goods. A U.S. delegation also spent 2 days in China last week to discuss trade issues. John Deere has filed a copyright infringement lawsuit against Precision Planting, AGCO. Deere & Company announced it has taken legal action against Precision Planting, LLC, and AGCO Corporation, claiming that the companies have infringed on 12 John Deere patents. The Deere patents, according to a company news release, relate to several of the unique and inventive aspects of John Deere planting equipment, many of which are embodied in the state-of-art technology Deere has named ExactEmerge. Deere filed the complaint in the U.S. State's District Court in Delaware, asserting that it has suffered damages because of the infringement and will continue to suffer such damages if the infringement continues. The lawsuit states that products made or sold by Precision Planting, including V-Set seed meters along with Speed 2 products, infringe on Deere patents. AGCO acquired Precision Planting in September of 2017. That's all the news we have on this afternoon Farm Show Day. Reporting for WSMI, this has been Jamie Geisler.